October Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your blood brother Murad Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio. No delay. This is Block Talk Radio. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey.
Go ahead, brother Imam. You're on.
Okay. New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic, Arabic, and Islamic studies in comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks online, to www.maradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Thank you, Brother Imam Musa, our technician. He's doing a wonderful job for us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. I was at the janazah today for Sister Karima Belinda Roker. She was very close. She was my sister and a very close friend. And I want to thank everyone that we asked to make a prayer for her and to continue to pray for her. And Allah says in the Quran that He hears the prayers of every supplicant that call on Him and with a will. Listen to His call that so you may walk in the right way. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't pray for another person because they are of not of your religion. Allah says that He hears the prayer of everybody and every religion and every language. Don't let anybody tell you you can't pray for somebody if you are not of their religion. Intentions to save Allah, to serve Allah only. There are some of you who show to me, oh, I have learned so much, I've advanced in so many areas. But when I look at you, I see one thing missing. I don't see you, the purity of intentions. I don't see you, the desire to serve divine will and divine will only. I see you in some of you the desire to make yourself big. So I say, yes, brother, you are a wonderful man. Go on, keep going. If we just make our intentions right, and that act needs only one hand, one stroke, one wife, is that right? One wife would do that, brother. The society doesn't have to have you, doesn't have to help you with that. You know your intention. The society doesn't know your intention. So if you would just make up your mind and make one stroke, say, I'm going to conform to God's will in my intention and God's will into your ear and direct your life and will help you in your walk of life. He will help you in everything you have to do. He doesn't have to speak but once. And we don't have to open our ears but once, but it has to be a total commitment. Blind. The Quran Surah 80, Ayat 1 to 2, he frowned. Darwin found a way to teach the condition rather than treat the condition. I can see that happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up things to us, and we can become very, very productive in many, many ways, especially culture, regular literature, but also fictional literature. We can become very productive. That's what others did, so why should not we? They came into the knowledge, and they made their contributions to the world, and professed it and still, and profited, and are still profiting much from contributing their knowledge to the world. So there are so many ways now you can reach human hearts, souls, and minds to bring about positive change and reform without coming directly from Scripture to try to convert people. And this time, that is not the way. Try to find a way to treat the condition rather than teach the condition. We have the knowledge to treat the condition. Let us do it. They do not having any ear for teaching. They are all deaf and dumb. The world has turned them off. They are not interested in what you have to say. You're going to teach them about Scripture? They do not want that. The only people who want that are those who are already devoted to Scripture. Well, what about the blind man? Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. The big people had attracted him because he knew they were not directly accepting right guidance. They were not having their life directed correctly, but he knew that they were not ignorant. They were not blind. It didn't say the people he was going to were blind. They were informed rich people. What is the difference between the people he was attracted to and the people that he did not have time for? Some could see, and this one could not see. So the blind man is not really blind. He just cannot see the way. He cannot see how to make it in the world. So he was going to those big shots who know how to make it in the world. And you want them to become Muslims and be rightly guided. Well, about who you are just walking past to get to them. They are all in your way. They are everywhere. What about those who you are walking past to get to those special people you want to convert because you think they will turn your mission into success right away? So he was rebuked by God for making the wrong decision. His heart was right. He wanted to bring big results to Al-Islam quick, but it was not just. Jesus did not teach, he treated the condition. So we have that blind man all around us, right? Blind people all around us. So let us be like Christ Jesus, treat the condition. He did not teach the blind man. He took mud and put it, some spit into it and rubbed it on his eyes and let it sit there for a while. And then the blind man said, I can see. So inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, God has blessed us to come to the right strategy. We have the strategy, we have the medicine. It's going to take us a little time, but I believe in a little while, the papers are opening up for us. The Quran Surah 4, Ayat 159, believe in Jesus before his death. The Quran, Surah 80, Ayah 37, each will be concerned with his own self. Matthew 10:38, whoever takes not his cross is not of me. So each person takes his own burden or cross responsibility. So we have to accept that time in the future, promise us less and less from government, and from other people, it says, there is coming a time when every soul will have enough problems of its own not to be bothered with others. So this is Quran, and that time is here. Everybody has enough problems of their own not to be bothered with your problems. Jesus took upon himself a cross, didn't he? And that cross was his cross, but he asked of his followers that each of them take upon themselves their cross. And it's the tradition of Christians to wear crosses, because this is what he left with them. Now, what does that say, that every individual must bear his own cross? God holds Muhammad, the prophet, prayers, and the peace be upon him, responsible for the office he gave him. He held him responsible for that. Individual responsibility is cross. So he, as an individual, had an individual responsibility to God for the office that God entrusted him with. So in Christianity, that is his cross. That's Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him's cross. So his individual responsibility that God gave him is his cross. For us, the responsibility that God created us for as individuals is our cross. Listen, please. This is very important. Cross means self and balance. When you look at a cross, what do you see? It's really a picture of two things, because these two things must become reconciled in man at some point if he is to have the great life that God created him for. It's symbolic of you, firstly. See, man, arms outstretched. It's a cross. It's exactly what it is. So when they put Jesus on the cross, really, he himself is the cross. Jesus is the cross. That means himself in balance. So the tightrope walker, he has to stretch his arms out like that to stay balanced on the tightrope. So we know the cross has more than one meaning. It has several meanings, and this is one of the most important meanings that it means, I should say, its first or most important meaning, that this individual is in perfect balance. Cross meaning Jesus lived life in balance before God. So this crucifix appears to be when the man is here looking pitiful and brutalized, blood dripping from the thorns in his head and holes in his hands and feet showing blood. So this is a sign of cruelty, misery. It makes us feel sad. But the Quran wants us to see that this is an appearance to hide another appearance. This is the picture to hide another picture. Now, under this picture of sadness, of torture, of cruelty is another meaning. It means that Jesus lived all of his life in perfect balance before God. That's what it means. That his life was perfectly balanced before his Lord, and he died a Muslim. Died in a perfect balance in the Muslim nature, upright. That's what it means. So this is the real cross. The other cross hides this cross. It makes this cross the cross that says Jesus died in the perfect balance. It says they are going to kill him, crucify him. He said this is the purpose for which he sent me into the world. You're going to crucify me, kill me, to give my all, including life, if I have to make the ultimate sacrifice? I'll make it. And remain faithful to my Lord, never betraying him, never slacking, never shortchanging him, then God will record me that I did it in the perfect balance. So you didn't kill me. I came here to do this. This is my purpose. You didn't kill me. I gave you my life and my life. You didn't take it. God sent me in the world to give it for his cause, and I gave it. How can you take what I gave to God? Are you listening to me? How can you take what I came to give to my God in obedience, even if it means losing my life? Such a Shaheed is never killed, never crucified. He's obedient to his God, and he will give his all rather than to disobey his law. So Quran Surah 80, Ayah 37, each one concerned with his own self. Psalms 2:3, let us break their bond. Marriage relationships shouldn't be based on sex. The relationship of man to wife or husband to wife, it is not sexual, but sex is a necessary element. That's all. That relationship should never be based on sex. Even the law animals do not base their relationship upon sexual pleasures. They have that pleasure and realize that the product of that action is now in the female, and she changes her behavior. And she gets serious about being a mother before even the baby comes. So this is an animal. And when the baby is here, she is devoted to the life of that baby. So the purpose of mating is to extend life, to keep life existing, and to care for life. So after the present ones are gone, the life continues in the best form. So this is devotion to community life, isn't it? So your sexual act should be devotion to community life. This is natural. In man before the world of commercialism spoiled them. They see a wife as a future, the natural man in his original nature. The wife sees the husband as a future. They look to family, to having babies and having more company than just one or two people. They look to a growing future of family and organizations of people loving one another and working for one another and supporting each other's life and extending the productivity in the interest of life. That's what they see, and that's what community should be. And when we take sex for nothing but sex, you're less than an animal. If that is what your wife is to you, your sex thing, you are less than an animal, my brother. I never had it in my spirit to see sex as just sex, as a dirty thing. I always had it in my spirit, you know, what sex was to me, a beautiful flower with pollen. It looks nice and smells nice. And it's mixed with something from another, the opposite life. And it reproduces fruit. Here, the plant has been transformed into no more than just a plant bearing leaves and flowers. Now it is a plant bearing fruit, the fruit of Islam. Look at yourself, brother, as fruit. Is your production sweet smelling? Is your production tasty and giving us energy to do our work, to keep moving and doing things? The Quran Surah 81, Ayah 3, Mountains. The Quran Surah 16, Ayah 15, Mountains said, least earth shakes. Allah says, and if he hadn't set up mountains, the earth would have shaken with you. So mountains plus trains, lakes retain holding. Is that right? So they are stabilizers. So you see, the very word mountain tell us something. Mountain, train, at the end of the word suggests that something is holding, maintain, retain, sustain. It tells us that something is holding. And mount means that it is mounting up. And it is also holding itself, right? So mountain represents intelligent authority, respect. When deterioration sets into the natural state of man's intellect, he loses his spiritual curiosity. So death sets upon the spiritual science, and then his ability to command respect is lost. There is now no for him personally. See, the mountain commands respect. It is as a symbol of authority. Man wants to go up on the mountain to get broader vision. Sometimes he just wants to challenge the mountain to see if he can climb up that high. So we are talking about the intellect. Quran says, then the mountain vanishes as a mirage. So the natural urge and the intellect dies. Man loses attachment with the natural urge, with the intellect. It is warning that loses respect for God is what brought him into natural urge. As a consequence for that, his spiritual vision dies. And then his ability to gain respect in society is lost. And we see that. That's the way it happens. Look how the young generation turned against the old establishment. Change is taking place. But we haven't recovered from that. The young are still not inclined to respect the old or the elder. The Quran, Surah 81, pardon me, Ayat 5, world wild beasts gathered. Wild beasts gathered are wild gangs in streets. So the mountain must then represent intelligence, because now with the intelligent authority gone, wild beast takes over. There is no intelligent now to discipline the wild beast or keep them in their borders. They now come out of their borders and begin to organize themselves like the gangs that are in Philadelphia and Chicago, etc. The neighborhood that was once under the church influence is now terrorized by gangs, right? And the church can't handle the gangs, and the gangs handle the church. So the mountain is gone, and the wild beasts are herding together, like gangs, cobras with cobras, pythons with pythons. They all have different names. They meet with each other. Then another group of gangsters with another group. They don't even fall into the category, but they are herding together, too. Like with light. The central authority, central vision is lost. Central authority is gone. So the wild beasts are herding together. She-camel represents individual intellect. The Quran, Surah 81, Ayat 4, she-camel. She-camel then represents the individual intelligence and the sun and the natural urge in the intellect that gives birth to the vision. That is the religious version of cultural vision that lights the world's civilization. This happens after its spiritual insight goes away, and then mountain authority goes away. And then the individual loses loss of respect for authority. Loss of society authority and individual dignity. The authority in society leaves before the individual loses his dignity, individual dignity, individual composure, sense of rational responsibilities in the individual. It doesn't die inside before it dies outside. It dies outside, it is still living in the individual, but in time, the individual is influenced by what is popular, by what the established order, the individual begins to conform to that. After the mountains are lost, authority in the society is lost for those principles, for those intellectual values. Then gradually is going to influence the individual who has been priding himself in being an intelligent person. But he is overwhelmed by the development that are forming in the society. And pretty soon now he finds himself conforming to habits that really are not himself. If you ask a man, were you always like this? He says, no, man, come to think of it, I wasn't this kind of dude. Camel lump, vigilant. So here, you know a camel has a lump in his back, too. He's mounting up, too. He's mounting up, and he is very vigilant. Have you ever seen a camel? Have you ever seen one in the movies, in the desert? He is watchful. The camel doesn't go like the donkey. The camel goes like this, looking all around. And the donkey goes looking straight ahead. Yes, I have seen them. And when he speeds, he points his head straight up. That's when he speeds. He knows that he can't be directed by something over there. He is intelligent, circumspect. He wants to know what is happening all around him. He's walking, looking all around him. He doesn't want anyone to pull any surprise on him. Hadith, trust God, tie your camel. There was something in the Hadith that explains to us what is meant by camel. When Prophet Muhammad came to Medina, what instinct did he trust to lead him to the safe house? Camel. Camel, he let his camel loose. And the house where his camel went to, that's the house where he said that he would stay in. Hadith, find lost seat, save for master's seat. Cultural, leave it, pardon me, camel, leave it alone. It will find its way to its owner. Also, the Hadith says, if you find a sheep lost, take it and save it for its master. But if you find a camel lost, leave it alone. It can return to its master. It means that the natural urge in the intellect, when that urge is awakened in the intellect, when it is alive in the intellect, it is what we call the instinctive intelligence. In the animal, an instinctive intelligence in the man, right? When that instinctive, intuitive intelligence is alive and working in the person, you don't have to worry about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has them. He is going to find his way. Sometimes it is best to leave them alone because they can't listen to you and that urge at the same time. They will get confused. All right. The Quran, Surah 81, Ayah 4, camel, 10 months pregnant. 10 represents 5 senses on conscience, conscious, and subconscious level. So we see that the camel is called 10 months, camel. And that's what it is referring to. The operation of the 5 senses in the intellect. They operate on 2 levels, subconscious and conscious. So we have to be conscious. I think that we have covered that commentary very well. And we thank Allah. I said that the 5 senses operate mainly on 2 levels, the self-conscious and the conscious level. So we have to keep them in the conscious to save the conscious foundation. Also, will marriage homosexuality. The Quran, Surah 81, Ayah 28-29. There is no willing but Allah. The Quran, Surah 37, Ayah 2, man, creation bigger, not than the earth. The Quran, Surah 95, Ayat 5, we created man in the best way. Al-Hadith, page 2, 633 and 377W. Marriage is half of the religion. Anas reported the Prophet said, when man has married, he has fulfilled half of religion. Then let him fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the remaining half. Worshipping in Islam is conforming to the will of God. Will of man is a poor reflection of Allah's will. Worship in Islam is conforming to the will of God, obeying, agreeing in and to God's will. That is what worship is. And God's will was before he revealed any scripture to any prophet or anybody. Peace be upon the Prophet. His will is what supports his creation. God's will is not spooky, a spooky thing I'm talking about. Don't think that God's will is like your will. And again, it is similar to your will. Your will is nothing but a poor reflection of God's will. And you can't will except as God will. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala word in the Quran. So even though you will sometimes something wrong that was in God's will for you to have that freedom to do that, in the end, you are going to be finished and God's will is going to inherit you and not you inherit God's will. After you are finished dead, God's will is going to inherit you and you are going to go back into his system of matter. And his system of matter makes salat to him. His system of matter is a Muslim, and it makes salat to its creator. In other words, it brings us from conform to the will of its creator, the will of God. Western problems, incorrect reading of the Bible, homosexuality results from corrupt culture, artificiality, and pose original nature. So our salat is worship, and everything we do in our life should be worship. So this is the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, the Quran, and the teachings of our Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. Everything you do should be an act of worship called in Arabic, ibadah. But as I said, we all do not conform completely. So we are not perfect, but we should be striving to bring our whole life to be an expression of our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Muhammad the Prophet was that kind of a person. His whole life was worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone might ask, what about his wife? He was married to women. That was half of his religion. That is his saying, marriage is half of religion. He said marriage is half of the religion. So you have to get away from this Western influence in your mind. I'm talking about the Western influence that comes from incorrect reading of the Bible. You should be writing that down. I said incorrect reading of the Bible. So don't go out there and say, the imam said that the problem is in the Bible, brother. That problem comes from the Bible. No, I said, it comes from incorrect reading of the Bible. That is a big difference. So what happens to society is this. It is influenced by the moral problems of pious men who accepted to give up wives, women, and sex, and then broke down and had to go to the court for sodomy. They should have read the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this world is too big for you. If you don't accept my guidance, this world is going to get the best of you. They have a thing with sex, and the shaitan comes in and he uses that defect and influences the whole culture, not directly. He whispers his influence into the culture, and they are already weak for it, so they buy it. So when you give the natural life artificiality imposed upon that natural life, a life that is really strange to the natural life and artificial, not real, when you look at what is natural life, what happens? The behavior registers in that life is confused. You confuse it. And it becomes so confused that it sends you into extremes to get rid of the problem. The nature to register of what is going on influences what the influence is asking of the natural system inside of you. It becomes confused. And then it sends your spirit and your behavior to extreme. One goes to the extreme and he wants to just give up the world. He wants to give up women. Sex is so nasty that he wants to give up women. Believe me, you have a lot of homosexuality or homosexuals. They do not know their own problem. The culture has influenced them. They think they have a natural problem. There are not many who have a natural problem. If you had a natural problem, come to me. I will have outlet for you. But if it is in your mind, I can't allow it. I have to bring it out of your mind. You have to correct it in your thinking. If it is a natural problem, why do we just allow each other? Those who have the problem, just allow yourself, they say, it's a natural problem. Well, I'll give you the sharpest knife you have ever had in your hand. It won't give you any pain. It will just quickly allow yourself. But it's not there. It is in your brain. God created us in the best form. The culture has influenced mothers going back way into time, and mothers are sometimes influenced to raise boys in the wrong way. And they make homosexuals out of their sons. I'm speaking from knowledge. So it is all about form. God created us in the best form. The Quran says we have created the human person in the best form, the best model, and the best mold, and the best pattern. So that is what it is talking about. But the influence of your own selves, you in your own words or world, can help you or take you out of that. The Quran goes on to say, and as a consequence of your own doings, that intellect pattern is reduced to the lowest of the low, to the bottom pit, bottomless pit, lower than a dog. And you know that. I think it was true in all times, but now more than ever. We offer the insult. The animal kingdom, we call some of these no good so-called human beings a dirty dog. You rat. You have never that a rat gave the world as much problem as you did. Don't hurt that rat image like that. The Quran Surah 2, Ayah 36 gets you down. The Quran Surah 6, Ayah 75 to 79. Abraham rational search for God. Man fell because he thought he was an angel divine. Falling star is a sign of our fall from the misperceive of our perfection that we continuing with Quran speaking of the heaven. It says how we have made it and adorned it. Adorned it with what? Beautiful lights. Aren't the stars beautiful lights up there above us? You don't have to even go to Texas to see that. It is beautiful. And in Texas, you have a wide, beautiful sky. The land is so big. The prairies are so wide that you can see those stars up there. And it looks like you can just almost throw a rock and hit one. They look that close. Or you can shoot and maybe touch one with a bullet or a missile or something. And it is like a piece of black cloth bedecked with jewelry. And they are just speaking all over, sparkling all over it. That is why the translator sees that. He registers the beauty of the clear sky at night with all of the lights shining. And he uses the English word adorn. And I'm sure the Arabic word is even more rich in describing it, adorned it, and there are no flaws in it. Some might say, yes, there are some flaws. Stars fall. They fall because they got out of the system. That is why they fall. Something happened to make them lose their place in the system. And they fall as a sign to us that no matter how perfect we think we are, sometimes we fall. And we really believe that. In order to serve the Lord God who created everything, man, he had to fall. He ascended. And he thought he was an angel. Or he thought he was a perfect being. He thought he was divine or a God-like creature. He thought that. And he had to fall, and he fell. And a man, a prophet of God, by the name of Ibrahim in the Quran, knows the place of the falling and went there where he knew the stars fell. It's nothing but a metaphor, a symbol, a sign of our fall from perfection that we perceive to come back down here with everybody else. You can sit back down here with everybody else. You can set yourself up as angels or as divine, but sooner or later, we are going to find you burning out, falling from the heavens and burning out. And when you cool, we can do something for you and do something with you. Muslim, everybody born Muslim, even in the wild. So our father Abraham, peace be upon him, found and took that stone and he placed it in the corner of the house that was going to be a house for all mankind. It was going to be equally the home of the white man as it is for a black man, for a Jew as it is for a Christian or a Muslim or a Hindu, a wild man in the jungle or whatever. It is going to be the home for everybody who was ever in human creation. And everybody at the birth in human creation, I don't care if he's born in the wild, when he comes from his mother, he is in human creation. They are not tigers coming out when they deliver, is there? That baby is ready to get into any civilization, though born in the wild, the jungle, but ready to come up in any civilization. You could bring that child right straight from the wild society and the wild mother straight to my house. And I will raise him in my house, and he will come up just my sons and daughters. Present them right into man's world. That is why the prophet, present and peace be upon him, said, everyone is born a Muslim until circumstances make them otherwise. The Quran, Surah 83, Ayah 14, heart rust. We know that poison is something that affects from within, and rust is something that eats away from without. There are things eating us away from within, poisoning us, and denying the individual to be comfortable, to be healthy internally. So there are things aggravating from without, inferior status, slum condition. The Quran, Surah 83, Ayahs 1-4. Woe to those that deal in fraud. Woe to those that deal in fraud, those who, when they have to receive by measure from man, exact full measure, but when they have to give by measure or wait to man, give less than due. John 10:8, all before me was robbers and thieves. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Malachi 3:8-9, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And that is thine and our offering. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. I like this saying from the Bible. Will a man rob God? Yes, a man will rob God. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it to us in the Quran? These are cheaters. They cheat you out of the life God created you for. So if they cheat you out of the life, they are robbing God. Because God is the one who possessed all that, and he gave it to you to use for your own benefit. He trusted you with it. Now that takes it. It was not yours. It was yours to use. So they take authority over it. Who did they take it from? God. They're robbing God. That's a sign of Jesus Christ pointing to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, the comforter to come. And he is saying that before the creation of God is presented to the world and made free for all, the world will be under and in a hands of nothing but thieves. And when you study history, you see that power have done nothing but rob the masses. That's all they have done. And took the world as though it was theirs exclusively, right? To have it in all people that they decide to be out of it or out of it. No more. Muslim cannot accept that. So when I saw the wisdom, the beauty, and the kindness of the word of God for myself studying the Quran, I made up my mind that no one would ever possess my spirit. No one would ever possess my mind. That is for God and God alone. It makes you free. The word of God frees us when we get it directly from him. The way he gives it to his prophets and messengers, when we get it from him, it frees us. It makes us humble ourselves. And we are happy to say, I'm nobody. God is so great. I'm nobody. God is so high. I'm nobody. God is so beautiful. I am nobody. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It humbles you. That's what we need today. We need people who are not just our leaders, but they are also our brothers and sisters in obedience to God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Then we can have success. The Quran, Surah 84, Ayat 1 to 4. Matthew 24:29. Star falls. Joel 2:31. Moon, blood, sun, darkness. Revelation 12:4. Satan, dragon, third star fell. So the stars fell means that the saintly people lost their high place in the world. Sun gone means that the rational mind lost its place in society. Moon gone means that the light of the spiritual guidance lost its place. The social spiritual light of intellect is destroyed. Nothing brings about a more thorough destruction than fire. But the soul, ocean, trees, animals have never rebelled against God. It is the mind of man that acted against truth and brought the world to its state of hell. Change the mind and change the world. So the mind of people must be renewed, given new soil for their knowledge to grow in. Renewing of the land is the renewing of the idea that you have the physical land. When that idea is renewed, and given to you in proper words, you have right knowledge and your vision is made new. Nothing changed in the world until something changed in your mind. So moon means light, spiritual guidance. So the moon means the light of spiritual guidance. It lost its place. So we are reading about a heaven that is going to be destroyed, rolled up like a scroll. And don't think it already has happened. The sun has been decking. The moon has been decking. And the turn to blood. The stars have fallen out of their place, and the earth is troubled with earthquakes. The thing that we have read about, or the destruction that will come in the final day. We have witnessed those things, and now we are battling to save ourselves from the final destruction that the wicked planners planned for us. God never planned these things for us. The dragon and his trail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them down to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Do you think that God would plan the destruction of the sun? No. Destruction of the moon? No. The death of the moon or the falling of the stars? The book says that Satan brought down a third of the kingdom. It says that at one time and in one stroke, Satan brought down a third of the stars. That should tell you who it is that is destroying the physical world. Not the physical world in a physical sense, but the physical world in a symbolic sense. These physical objects just stand as symbols representing something in our own life, in our human makeup. Sun symbolic of the conscious mind, it makes us active. Moon represents deep thought and reflection of reality. What weakens us and starts us to be active in the morning, isn't it the conscious mind when it is awakened and the eyes open and you see the physical world? Isn't the light on? That is the sun, the conscious mind. When you close your eyes to think deep, you are trying to reach the moon. You want some reflection from the reality that you can't find. Now, many of us, we do this, and pretty soon, we get a little light. And we open our eyes, and we can shed some light on the dark questions that we just, a few minutes ago, didn't see and any light on. Destruction of the world is interperson. I'm only saying to you is this, that what you have been reading in Scripture of judgment, doom, the destruction of the universe. It is not talking about physical creation. It is talking about the human creation. It is talking about the social and spiritual life of the human being. The destruction will come upon our spiritual and social life as the light of the intelligence will be destroyed. People will open their eyes in the day and will look out at the physical and will not get true guidance because their mind will have already have been poisoned by lies and corrupt knowledge. The Quran, Surah 84, Ayat 1-6, earth will hearken to her Lord. Matthew 26:27, Last Supper, 12 disciples, Zodiac. So we are to understand that the heavens-orientated people, those whose heads are in heaven, those whose orientation are in heaven, who are they? Church people. Aren't they the one whose orientation, church people, Last Supper, is in heaven? They are the skyward people. And they're actually the sign that they have in the religion, the rule in their religion, is referring to the sky. They have it in the sky. 12 times table, 12 disciples. Now, if you have gone to school and you have done your arithmetic and you study your 12 times table, right? Your 12 times table, why are they called tables? Table times, you have to be able to go through the whole 12 to understand the table. Jesus 13, Jesus Christ was the 13th one, right? And he was really over the 12. His job was to lead 12 into the kingdom, right? Now, just the 12 but they represented the people of the world too. His job was to lead the spiritual people, the skyward people, into the kingdom. Then why must there be a shakeup in the heavens? There is nothing wrong with the sun and the moon and the stars. Nothing is wrong with the physical heaven that it needs to be shook up. It's operating as God intended for it to operate. It was once shook up and troubled, but it is nice now. You know that, but there is another heaven. There was a heaven of man that needs to be shook up so that people can see their real purpose and role in life. That tells us that a certain skyward order, a skyward religion, is not really healing to the commands of his law. Now, we know we are living witnesses that the cultural meter out to us as slaves in America was not approved by the Christian religion, but it was allowed under Christianity authority or Christian authority. When the earth is flattened out and cast forth what is in it, this tells us that there are things that the heavens hide and things that the earth hides. We're talking about the heaven of man, the religion of man, and the earth of man, the material world of man. Both are hiding things from us. And God is telling us in this Quran that there is coming a day when there is going to be a shaking up. Things are going to be shaken up out of its place and manifest what they are hiding. And having the earth will hearken to Allah, the heavens, and earth will heed the warning of God that can only come about when we give the masses of people the truth. As long as the masses of people don't have the truth, then those few who operate in secrecy, they have protection. Their protection is our refusal to let it be known. The Quran, Surah 85, Ayat 1, by the mansion. John 14:2, Father, house, many mansions. El-Islam is life. Mansions means material establishment. El-Islam is life, as the Old Testament and the New Testament promised God's worshipers life and a good life. So it is promised in the Quran. It is the same. God says that he will give his worshipers life and a good establishment. So I'm very familiar with the Bible, and God says there also that he will give his worshipers mansions. That's the good establishment and dwelling where they will be secure and have the beautiful and good things that their hearts or that their souls wanted. This is a promise that is in the great religions of Judaism, Christianity, and El-Islam. And what has El-Islam specifically or particularly has to offer? We are called to life by the three religions. And the three religions and the three great religions promise good life and a good establishment, the fulfillment of all good desires. The Quran, Surah 85, Ayat 11, rivers flowing underneath. So rivers flowing underneath means like water of life of human sentiment and faith. Life begins with trust. If the infant comes here not trusting the mother, the infant may die. So faith is the beginning of life and human feeling, sentiment, that is beginning of life. God says he began the creation of water. That is the beginning of life for us, that our feelings, our innocent and goods and our sentiments are alive and good. That is the beginning of life for us. Water underneath which rivers flow means you don't have to have it revealed to you from the sky. It is already in your life that God creates. the Quran, Surah 85, Ayat 11, rivers beneath. In the Quran, it says, if you remain faithful, he will give you a life hereafter, and it will be in a garden with rivers flowing underneath the surface. So we are used to rivers flowing on top of the surface that we see. These will be rivers flowing beneath the surface. We won't see these rivers. They are all flowing beneath the surface to aid therein eternally. You are never to be kicked out of there. The Jews can drive the Palestinians out of their land, but once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you this land with rivers flowing underneath the garden, nobody can cast you out. It is yours eternally. Which one would you like to have? The one that somebody, the new landlord, comes to and says move? Or the one that keeps the same landlord and he puts you there and they can't even see your garden or your rivers? They are hidden from them. The disbeliever who cannot see them, they are not meant for their eyes, so they cannot take your garden away. That is a good situation to be in, to get the benefit of this world that man has. Body is formed hidden in the womb, like the inner person is formed inside the body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forms life in the mother hidden from the view of human beings, and when he delivers it, it is complete. And it is only a sign of how he formed the constitution of the human person. His reasoning, his sensitivity, his interest, his vision formed all over again. And nobody sees that construction going on until it is delivered. And we recognize that it is a new person. The Quran, Surah 85, Ayat 13. He originated and restored and repeat. The Quran, Surah 55, Ayat 1-4. Taught the Quran created man. The merciful God taught the Quran to Muhammad and created the human person, model Muhammad prayers and the peace be on him. And when he did that for Muhammad, he did that for all the world. If they accept the Quran and Muhammad that he created with the Quran, then they get the benefit too. They will also be created anew, so the whole world can have a new life, a new creation, a higher life, if they would just accept the Quran and Muhammad. Those followers who accepted the Quran and Muhammad, they became the new world, a new people, a new world. And they even stimulated or affected the other world, the outside world, to quicken the life in them and bring them to revivals, if not to the new life or to the new creation that Allah intends. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this next week at 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. on Inshallah. It only means if it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Murad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again, and we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.